10 years ago, I was just confronted with my own brokenness and my own sin. To breathe
on it. What I didn't know about your story was how driven you were to one day plant the church.
There are wounds that can take your life, and there are wounds that can save it.
And this was the scary thing, Pastor. In that moment, I believed the lie that there was no one I could call who would understand.
And I broke.
Wow.
And I was bawling. I was like, why'd you use the word like? Yeah. Why'd you say like and not love?
Yeah.
And he's like, because you don't like you.
Mm.
And so you got to show that you're worth something.
Mm. You can have peace, or you can have control. But you can't have both.
Wow. So many artists are in the church dreaming of touring.
Yes.
And you're touring dreaming of being in the church.
Yes, yes.
It's the exact opposite.
Yes. If your worship doesn't cost you anything, it's not worship.
Bro, this is so mind-blowing because... Welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here, and thanks for joining us. And I'm so honored to have Torin Wells with me today.
Thank you for having me, Pastor.
Dude, it's an honor. This is so fun. So we met at Joel's. We met at Lakewood.
Yes.
It was real brief, but just connected with you there. Yep. And I love your story. Now, this is so cool. We're talking backstage. I did not realize how much of a church guy you are.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you're all about the church.
Oh, yes. Maybe a little bit too much.
I love it.
It's hard to take time off from it. Yeah, I have always loved the church from the first Sunday. I remember plugging into the church that would become my church home for my childhood. I was 9 years old, and I thought my dad had ruined my weekend because he came home on a Saturday and said, we're going to church tomorrow.
Yeah, you're like, I was planning on sleeping in. What are you talking about?
Yes, I'm going to be playing with my friend. It was the 90s, so it was all street hockey.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It was Mighty Ducks.
Yeah.
So he said, nah, little brother, we're going to church. And my family did not do that.
Yeah.
You know, my parents were not believers, had a lot of conflict in their relationship, separated when I was 3 or 4, and then divorced when I was 9. And that sent both of them on their respective faith journeys. But it sent my dad to this little church that we went to. And it was the first time that I arrived somewhere where I just felt like I belonged.
Wow.
And it wasn't because everybody looked like me. I don't recall many kids being there. There were a few. But it was just because God had providentially put this living, breathing thing called the church in my life. And I've been up and down, highs and lows, imperfect, many mistakes, but I haven't turned my back on what God used to bring me to himself.
I love that.
I love it.
And you know, you're such a talented guy. I've been a part of watching your ministry. I'm old school, bro. I go back to Royal Taylor.
Crazy.
I mean, I go back with you, man.
You're a real one.
So yes. So I go back to that, and then I've seen God use you in the worship space, and then with Lakewood, and just all this. And I love that. And so, but what's cool to me, what I didn't know about your story was how driven you were to one day plant a church.
Yes.
So many artists are in a church dreaming of touring.
Yes.
And you're touring dreaming of being in the church.
Yes, yes.
It's the exact opposite.
Yes. Well, one of my mentors said this. He said, the devil is a master at making you go and look for what you already have.
Wow.
And I think a lot of times when we are creatives in the church dreaming about life beyond the church, we don't realize we already have so much already right in front of us.
That's so good.
But for me, it was like, I think it goes back to what you were describing in our conversation earlier about winning some of your friends to the Lord in high school.
Yeah.
I kind of have a similar story where my youth pastor was one of those consequential voices in my life who called things out of me that I didn't even necessarily know were there. When I started leading worship, I was 9 years old singing in the choir because we didn't have like worship teams. We had the choir. But then once we started to develop like a worship band in youth, I was 16.
Yeah.
And my youth pastor said, if you're going to lead worship, you need to know how to play an instrument. So I started learning the keys.
Wow.
And then I started inviting my friends and saying like, hey, I'm like singing and stuff at church. I would love if you would come check it out. Well, then that turned into me partnering with my youth pastor. He was really developing me. I didn't know it at the time, but just in helping create that environment.
Yeah.
So most Wednesdays after school, my youth pastor either picked me up or I walked to my church, and it was all about setting stuff up. Now, this was like 2000, where if the youth room was cool, yeah, you had to have stolen stuff from construction sites.
Of course, of course.
Or like road signs, mm-hmm, and all that stuff. So we'd be setting that up, setting up chairs, vacuuming floors, putting up black plastic to transform our church basement. But I saw my friends' lives being impacted.
Yeah.
And that was the thing that I was drawn to. Singing the songs and all of that, that was cool. But it was creating a space for people to meet Jesus.
I love it.
And that just kind of led me into Bible college and then ministry.
Wow. So you really started with the local church. You saw how it transformed your dad, mm-hmm, right? And your mom.
Yes.
Right? And
yes,
they have different stories, yes, but still, both of them.
Totally.
So you got to see that happening growing up. So you just knew the hope of the world really is in local,
yes,
church.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And there is something about, like, our soul aligned with the giver, using our gifts in the ministry of the church. I think a lot of people sometimes get a few of those things. They recognize they have gifts, or they get their soul aligned with God. Mm-hmm. But to get that divine alignment of, mm-hmm, my soul's connected with God, I realize he's the giver of every good gift. He has empowered me with talents and abilities.
So good.
And I'm not just going to use them for myself to build, right, my own thing.
Right.
At some point, and I still wrestle with this, because you can still wrestle with this and be in the church, of not trying to live to use my gifts to build my dream.
Yeah.
At some point, you have, yeah, to choose God's dream.
Yeah.
And if, I say this to myself, if your dream does not include people,
yeah,
you don't have a God dream.
I love it. I love it.
And so seeing how the local church impacted my family, you know, a lot of people, I'm not saying the church is perfect. I've been bumped and bruised by the church.
Sure.
When my wife and I got married, we were serving in her parents' church.
Yeah.
And because I'm biracial, she's white, we had people in the church who sent the wedding invitations back and refused to come to the wedding, and then they left the church.
That's mind-blowing to me.
Which is crazy.
That is insane.
It's 2011.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, this is 1957.
Yeah, right.
Not that it was right then either.
Right.
But I mean, that's mind-blowing.
Right.
Wow.
And so I'm not saying it from this rose-colored glasses,
yeah,
where,
yeah,
the church has only benefited me.
Right.
It's that I have made a choice not to judge the minority who got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so good.
You know, so judge the majority who are trying to do it right by the minority who got it wrong.
Wow, that's a good word.
Yeah,
that's a good word.
I love it.
You've kept your faith, and, you know, with what you do, you see the good, but you also, I'm sure, see plenty of bad, you know,
yeah,
like in the music industry, which, you know, that's not probably a term you would use, right? I mean, you're
right
in ministry, but there's an industry side
100%
to the ministry, and that can be, it can kind of steal your joy, take away your innocence a bit.
Yes.
If you're not careful.
Yes.
What do you do to protect from that?
Fight for the why.
That's good.
The why. Fighting for the why. Because industry in itself has its own code.
Yeah.
And it's ultimately advancement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are about advancement in the church. We're about advancing the gospel, advancing,
yeah,
the kingdom
of God,
advancing,
yeah,
from sin into grace, all of these things. But at any point that we have to compromise who we are or the principles that God has put in place, then the advancement's not worth it. The ministry side of it is different, and there is a tension to hold,
yeah,
in all of that. In the seasons that I find myself discouraged with some of the realities of the industry around the church, I have to personally fight for my own personal deeper why.
Yeah.
Because this happens not just in church. This will happen in your house. This happens in,
yeah,
government, where you hold the larger entity to a higher ideal,
mm-hmm,
than the standard that you personally live.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I want to hold Christianity to this standard that I don't personally live.
Mm.
And I want to hold the government to a standard that I don't personally live. And I want to hold my pastor to a standard and the church people around me to a standard I don't live. Or artist, fill in the blank.
Right.
So for me, it's always looking at my own heart.
Yeah.
In what ways am I trying to serve myself?
Mm.
And not the people that God's placed around me.
And you can, in the name of Jesus,
yes,
serve yourself.
100%.
And of course you see it, I'm sure, yes, right? And it's all around us. And I mean, how many young people are looking to you going, wow, I want to be that guy. But are they saying that because you're singing the Lord's songs and honoring God? Or because,
right,
you're on a big stage,
yes,
and there's big lights, and they think, oh, this could be a big paycheck, and
yes,
I could be famous.
And I was just challenged by this, driving to this podcast today, because I'm listening to worship songs and stuff, and I'm thinking about the genesis of worship songs, and I kind of went back to me being 16 when,
yeah,
I couldn't learn Here I Am to worship fast enough for the service, so I just started writing my own songs.
Wow.
I didn't know that you could get paid to write songs.
Yeah.
I didn't know that when you write and perform these songs that you're building an asset.
Right.
I did not know that.
Right.
And I had just encouraged another youth ministry a couple nights ago and said, if your worship doesn't cost you anything, it's not worship.
It's good.
Well, what do you do when you get a greater benefit out of what you're participating in than what you're actually contributing?
Hmm.
Because there's a whole lot of the church thing,
mm-hmm,
whether you're on paid staff or a person in the seat,
right,
that you consume and you just benefit from.
Right.
So I think, just personally, I'm kind of just processing this out loud. It's a very fresh thought, so I may retract it at some point.
I love it. This is great.
But it's like I have to keep my heart in the place where the worship is pure.
Right.
That my motives are washed, that when I present work before the Lord, whether it's a song or the editing of a podcast or the preparation of a message or an outreach on a Saturday, that it cost me something.
Yeah.
That there's a surrender and a sacrifice to it, and to never allow myself to move into a place of entitlement where I think, no, I deserve to get something in return from what I'm doing here.
Wow.
And that's kind of the tension you got to manage with industry and ministry.
And no one's probably going to do that for you. So
can't,
if you don't
outsourced,
do it,
right,
no one else is going to do it.
That's,
they're
right,
just going to be like, you're the greatest. Maybe,
yes,
I am the greatest. Oh, wait, no, we're serving the greatest.
Yes.
So,
yes,
you have to be the protector. And I know marriage helps, and,
yes,
the accountability. And, you know, who really knows Torin? Who really knows you? Because you have to have some people like that.
Yes. Well, my wife definitely really knows me.
Yeah.
You know, we've walked through things together, even in preparation for this season of ministry. 10 years ago, I was just confronted with my own brokenness and my own sin.
Yeah.
And went through counseling and all of that. Songs going up the charts, platinum records, all of that, empty on the inside.
Wow.
Reaching for things that only temporarily satisfied.
Yeah.
And realizing that doing things for God is not the same thing as being with Him.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is the way that I grew up, and I'm not blaming this on anyone. It was just inherent in the culture, and I think it's inherent in Christian culture and,
yeah,
religion. The value that God has for us is really in how useful we can be for Him.
Hmm.
And if I break that down into my relationship with one of my four boys, the value that they bring to my life is not how useful they are.
Right.
In fact, when they were the most helpless,
right,
they were the most treasured and adored and doted on and carried and held and,
yeah,
and all,
yeah,
of that. So I cannot look at my relationship with God,
mm-hmm,
and think that He values me more, or I become more valuable as I become more useful to Him.
Wow.
It is in the reality that I belong to Him as His treasured possession, His son.
Yeah.
And to do everything that I do out of this place of already being affirmed, being accepted, being loved, and allowing that to fill me up.
So this last year, the Lord kind of shut me down for a year. I had a performance coach slash counselor say, you need to take a year off. I was like, I can't take a year off. That's crazy. So we ended up doing kind of a hybrid. I called my pastor, Craig, you know, and we started talking. Yes. He said, okay, do this. Take this summer off. Add a month to it. Take 4 months. And then come back, but come back different.
Yeah.
Basically, no big plans, no big projects, which was killing me, man. I'm like, let's go, 100%. Go, right? I was like, oh, and you asked my team, I was not enjoying it. I was like, I don't want to do this, you know?
Yeah.
But what God was doing, he was just separating what I do from my worth.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So there's a verse God gave me, and it really bothered me. You ever had a verse where you're like,
100%.
I don't like this verse.
I do not.
Like, I do not like this. I know you're supposed to love the word of God, but I don't like this verse right
now.
This is
hard, yeah.
Right? So Psalms 2:8 says, ask and I will give you the nations. And I'm like, Lord, why are you giving me this verse when you just told me to take a year off?
Yeah,
like,
right.
This timing is wrong. This is not the verse to give, especially a doer and a guy who wants to accomplish things and do things. And you're making albums, writing books, starting a church, right? You're like, go.
100%.
And God says, do nothing.
Yeah, chill out.
Like, wait,
bro.
What?
Yeah.
So here's the thing. For months, I'd look at that verse. I kept coming across. I wasn't even trying to. I was like, why are you keeping this verse?
Mm-hmm.
Asking, Lord, you're telling me not to do anything. And then it hit me. The verse right before it says, today, I have become your father, and you have become my son.
Mm.
Now, ask.
Yes.
And I give you the nations.
Wow.
And that's what stopped me. What you just said was, you're like, hey, all the stuff God's doing in your life, mm-hmm. means nothing if your internal soul is broke.
Yes.
If you are, does that make sense? If you are, if you're bankrupt on the inside.
Yes.
So you took the time while ascendancy seems to be happening, music's charting, great things are happening, but you're like, but I know what's really going on.
100%.
And it ain't good.
No. And there are, this is not a plug. It's just because it's the natural progression of the conversation. But I wrote a book about joy. And in my study about joy, I came across an author and a pastor named David Murray.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us 7 categories for happiness. And I don't know if I'll be able to list them all. Let's see if I can.
I can. You know what? I'll check it right now.
Go
ahead. Let's see.
Social happiness, vocational happiness, intellectual happiness, nature happiness, humor happiness, vocational happiness.
Mm.
So those are 6 categories.
Yeah.
The work that you do, vocational.
Yeah.
Social happiness, getting to sit down with friends and laugh.
Yeah.
All 6 of those categories are available to us through God's common grace.
Mm.
That's why people can work and feel fulfilled. That's why you can sit down at dinner and laugh and not have any relationship with Jesus, but have relationship with friends. And there is a dimension of joy and happiness mm-hmm. that we experience. But the 7th category is spiritual happiness.
Mm.
And spiritual happiness is not a category that's filled. It's a category that seals.
Mm.
So if I have social happiness and I have vocational happiness and I took a walk today and I saw that the mountains were beautiful.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. But it's not connected to God.
Yeah.
And my soul is not sealed with spiritual happiness. All of that leaks.
Wow.
So it's temporary.
Yeah.
If we have spiritual happiness, that is, God is the source of our joy, our worth.
Yeah, yeah.
It acts as a seal around the human soul.
Mm.
And so when my kids laugh, joy is amplified. And when I have time with my friends, it's amplified because my friends are not the source of my joy. They're a resource, a representation of the joy of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it's like colors going from gray to brilliant hues.
Love it.
Because of spiritual happiness. And that's the thing that I'm constantly feeling like I have to not fight for, but surrender to.
It's good. It's good.
Because being a doer like we are, an achiever, my counselor said, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go outside and I want you to sit down for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And not do anything. Like, just be with the Lord, not working on something.
Yeah, yeah.
Not trying to accomplish something. And I did that one morning. I sat down in my driveway, and I had my big comfy on, which my kids all make fun of me for wearing. And the sun just hit my face. This sounds so corny until you do it. And I heard the birds. And I was just like, when was the last time I paid attention to the warmth of the sun?
Mm.
To the sound of singing birds?
Yeah.
And I realized how present, and my eyes filled with tears because I realized what I had been rushing through every day.
Yeah.
And I went back to my counselor. And I said, hey, I did that thing. He was like, that's cool. He said, how did you see God when you were in that moment? And I said, well, there are actually two ways. There's the way that I experienced him and then the way that I kind of look back on it. The way that I genuinely experienced him was how I experienced looking in my 13-year-old's eyes. And he's not doing anything. I'm just looking at him thinking, yo, this is my boy. And then I said, but then if I like think about it and I look back on it, it's like I see a split screen and there's a guy walking around with his arms crossed, furrowed brow, doesn't acknowledge my presence but knows I'm in the room. And it's just like, oh, I'm glad you're here. We can get to work now.
Wow.
And it's the competing views for how we choose to behold God.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot of my life, it has been God and I are working on a project together.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Bro, this is so mind-blowing because you sound like my counselor right now. Like, I'm like, what in the world? Like, you know, I think guys like us, right? And I think there are a lot of people that there are so many doers out there.
Achievers.
Plans and let's go.
Yes.
And that's great. But a lot of that, that we don't like to admit is that a lot of that's because we have a wound.
Yes.
From probably childhood.
Yes.
Right? And right. So my counselor said something to me that stopped me cold, and I didn't like it. I was mad. You ever mad at your counselor?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm like,
he confronts me with myself.
What the heck, man? Don't be telling me that, right? And so he says something to me, and I was like, dude, no way. And he said, tell me your dreams. And I'm like, man, I'm building castles in the sky. I mean, we're going to do this and this ministry and that and blah, 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 and all this kind of stuff. And he goes, what if God didn't care about any of that? And I was like, I'm going to punch you in the face. Everything I just said is about Jesus and the church. And this is he's like, isn't 10,000 people enough, Bill?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And I said, I just want to do all this stuff. And why? Because I love God. And he was like, what if God doesn't want to tell you that he loves you? And what if he tells you he likes you? And I broke.
Wow.
And I was bawling. I was like, why'd you use the word like? Yeah. Why'd you say like and not love?
Yeah.
And he's like, because you don't like you.
Mm.
And so you got to show that you're worth something.
Mm.
When you're already not only loved by God, you're liked by God.
Yes.
That's what a banner over you being love is.
He likes you. Yes.
Like your 13-year-old didn't do anything.
Nothing.
He just walked in the room and your heart exploded.
I'm like, dude.
And your heart exploded. You're like, I want to hug you and I want to do what no boy wants. And that's kiss you all over your face. And he's like, don't you do that, Dad. That's weird. But you love him like crazy.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And we have a hard time seeing God feels that way about us.
Right.
Because the problem is that Torn knows the truth on Torn and Bill knows the truth on Bill.
Yes.
So how could he possibly like me?
Yes.
If he really knew me.
That's right. And there's a great Timothy Keller quote. He says, to be loved by God is, or no, that's not right.
Anything you say from Tim Keller is good, by the
way. Yes. To be loved but not known is comforting, but it's superficial.
Wow.
To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is what it means to be loved by God.
Wow.
And that is what you're conveying, is the God who sees me completely.
Yeah.
Already made up his mind about me.
Yeah.
And that's actually where the freedom of the Christian life is.
Yeah.
It is wholeheartedly believing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, but also, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Pastor, on this,
no, man,
believing that God believes in us.
Yes. It's true. It's crazy that we can believe in God.
Yes.
But why in the world?
Why in the world?
Would he believe in us?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And it is only his power working in us. But to be enjoyed by God, like, that's crazy. So I'm trying to live toward that, and I wrestle with it all the time. I'm constantly trying to figure out, okay, is this like what I want to do?
Yeah.
Or is this what God wants to do? And,
You know what? We were talking backstage, right, about, you know, you're planting this church. It's going really well. God's hands on it. I love it.
Yes.
Super happy for
Praise
you.
Praise God.
Love it.
Yes.
You're in a beautiful city, great area, super expensive city.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to, can I just go here for a second?
Yeah, absolutely.
You? This is going to be a little counseling.
I don't know
moment,
where we're
sorry.
Going, but I'm ready
well,
to go.
I got some age on you, a little experience in the church world. I don't have any experience whatsoever in the music world, okay? But I got a little in the church world. And you said to me, what keeps me up at night? Right?
Yeah.
Remember this? You
yes.
said it's buildings, how expensive yes. it's going to be, we're going to get land, all that kind of stuff.
Yes.
Could it be that God uses that to keep you coming to Him?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
Like whatever area is keeping you up at night, right?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And so I really believe that God uses that. And
to keep us dependent.
Yes.
There's a long list of things. It's toward the top.
Yep. And, right? And we all have things like that.
Yes.
Maybe for some people, it's their teenager. It's not honoring God right now. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's, you know, for you, it's right. It's the resources needed mm-hmm. to run a ministry, you know, mm-hmm. that's growing. And it's wonderful
right.
it's growing, but everyone's new in the Lord and they're not all giving yet.
Yes.
And it's like, how
there's
are we going to pull this off?
And yes.
Yeah. It's just,
yeah.
you know, and they're figuring it out. But without those conflicts, those gaps
mm-hmm.
in our lives, would we really go to God?
Right.
Would we really depend upon Him? Would
yes.
we even need to do that?
Yes.
So God allows that. And so I believe that God wants the tension.
Absolutely.
So He can be the deliverer.
Yes. Yes. Beautifully said. It reminds me of that, like the thorn in Paul's flesh.
Yeah.
It's... I'm dependent. God chose not mm-hmm. to remove it. Well, what can I do? Rely on the only other person who can relate to what thorns do.
Mm, that's it.
You know, I got you, Paul.
Wow.
And I feel it's the same. I wrote a song one time. It said, if what's breaking me is what's saving me, if my weakness brings me to you, if impossible becomes your miracle, if lost and broken hearts are what you choose, I'm yours to use.
Wow.
It's like that's the currency.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. Man, I love what God's doing in your life. You know, your kids, they're getting to watch their dad honor God, put God first. You're in a local church. You're committed to that. I know I don't want to extend this too long, but I just want to ask you this. You know, like when you're hurting, when you're crying out to God, when things aren't going your way, when you're just like, man, you're just empty. What do you do? What do you do when you're empty?
That's a great question. There's a few things. So there's a few maintenance things that I feel help me not be empty.
Yeah.
Which would be really in the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife and I have our date nights every Monday night.
It's great.
Our boys know, Dad's taking Mom out on their date. You know, they just recognize that.
They don't even know that you're laying a building block for them.
Yes.
One day when they're married.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So once I'm done preaching Sunday, I'm done. I'm old school. I take Monday off.
Yeah.
That's the day for Lauren and I to connect and drink coffee in the morning and go eat that night, and then we get ready for Tuesday. But that's been a major key. Rhythms of rest. I had a friend who had the fastest growing church in America at one point, blew his life up.
Yeah.
And he was like, I preached 51 out of 52 Sundays 2 years in a row. And trying to be a superhero.
Yeah.
He was like, you need to take weekends off, and you need to, if the people in your church have a problem with it, just tell them, this is how I get to be your pastor for 30 years and not 3 years.
Yeah.
So I have a rhythm of preaching three, taking one off, or preaching four, taking two off.
It's beautiful.
I work with my team on guarding my time and how communication flows.
Yeah.
And that's really hard for some people, but I'm like, if it's hard for you, you don't love me.
Yeah.
So there are some practical things.
Yeah. Boundaries.
Like that, boundaries.
You got real clear boundaries.
Yes.
It's great. It's great.
And then... I'll tell you, so last year about this time, I've never had a panic attack, but I felt like I almost did. And I was driving in my car, and I had a heavy touring schedule, had a bunch of like interpersonal conflicts happening in the church that we're dealing with, among all of the other responsibilities. Oh, and by the way, when you sign up to be a pastor, you also sign up to be a CEO, a certified counselor, you know, all these things that nobody really tells you about. And
a CFO, a COO,
all of that.
CTO, you're like, oh my goodness.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the music and the all these blessings, you know. One of my friends said, oh, champagne problems. I was like, yeah, we don't drink, but I feel the problems.
I get where you're going, yeah.
So I love my problems. I praise God for them. But it was just overwhelming, and I was driving the car, and this was the scary thing, Pastor. With the pastors that I have in my life that I talk to regularly,
yeah,
with the close friendships that I've cultivated over the years,
yeah,
in that moment, I believe the lie that there was no one I could call who would understand.
Wow.
Like, who can I call? I can call a pastor who understands what it's like to be a pastor. But do you also know what it's like to play 80 shows a year while you're pastoring?
Yeah.
I can call a friend who's an artist, mm-hmm, but you cannot relate to the weight. My wife, I'm like, I don't want to put this on her.
Yeah.
And so I was on the verge. I felt like of a breakdown, and
yeah,
I rolled the windows down and I turned the music up. Unfortunately, it was my own song. Mm-hmm. I have to say, sorry if that's cringy, but it's a song called How Great. And I turned that up. I think I blew one of the speakers in my car because I had it so loud, but I sang that song. And there is something about singing your prayers and really coming to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I realized there are other people I could call, and next time I will. And I've worked through that. But also, Jesus can always relate.
Yeah.
He can always relate.
Yeah.
And when I worshiped him and his presence came into that car, when his presence came in, the presence of anxiety went out.
You know, there's going to be moments when you can have the best counsel in the world, and I'm sure you've got a great one. Mm-hmm. I certainly do. You can have the most amazing wife in the world, and I'll argue with you that mine's better than yours. Mm-hmm. We'll argue mm-hmm. that. We could have the most amazing families, ministry, friends, and all that, but I think God allows it to a point to be like, there's one thing they're just not going to get. They're not going to completely just get you, because that is a space that's only for me and you.
So good.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I love the fact that we empathize with each other, but there's a moment where like,
yeah, I've got like, one source.
There's only one Torin, and there's only one person that's going to completely understand Torin.
Yes.
You know, and that's where you have to say you have an amazing wife, but she ain't Jesus.
That's right.
You got an incredible manager. He ain't Jesus.
That's right.
You got a great church, not Jesus.
No.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So I just want to encourage, if is it okay with you? Someone's watching right now and they're like, oh my gosh, I've been trying to get my needs met from my best friend,
mm-hmm.
from my spouse, from my boss, from my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying, and this is like, no.
Yeah.
There's only one source.
One source.
So would you just... I just think this is a moment. I really believe that right now. I want to, first of all, thank you for your vulnerability. You've been really honest and just really vulnerable in this moment, saying, hey, it's wonderful, but there's pressure with all this. Like, it is a cave-in pressure at moments 100%. Where you're like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's when God goes, congratulations, you've branded into yourself, and this is where I can take
100%. Yes.
Would you just pray for that person right now who's going, oh my gosh, I may not be doing 80 shows a year and planting a church, but I do know what it's like to feel an avalanche of pressure and not know where or who to go to.
Yes. And if you're experiencing that sense of overwhelm, I would just encourage you that you can cast all of your cares, the scripture says, on the Lord. And I think that what I was running into, and maybe you feel this as well with your kids, with your marriage, with your job, with your ministry work, fill in the blank, is I try to hold on to some of those cares because I feel like I need to control the outcomes of those things. But here's the reality that I've learned. You can have peace or you can have control, but you can't have both.
Wow.
And so it is not in your doubling down and your gripping tighter that is going to release you into the peace of God. It's actually going to be your surrender and your letting go. And so wherever you're listening to this, I just wonder if you could go into your heart right now and really consider, what areas of my life do I have a death grip on that I need to release and surrender to the Lord?
Amen.
And you're probably holding it tightly because you really care about it. You're holding those kids tightly because you care about them. Your spouse because you care about them. But I can tell you, they are safer in God's hands. Those problems are safer in the hands of God than they are in yours.
Amen.
And so I just pray with you that you would be able to release those things into the care of God. Why? Because he cares about that stuff? Yes. But the scripture says it's because he cares about you. And no matter what you're walking through, hear this today. He cares about you, and he cares about the things you care about.
Praise God. Praise God. Can I pray real quick?
Absolutely.
God, just moving. This is a powerful moment. And I think the person listening to this right thinking, oh, I just want to get a little tidbit. And they realize, no. This isn't about Torin today.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't about your story. It's about their story.
Yeah.
That God has a story that he's doing in their life.
Yes.
And so sometimes we all need to have that roll down your windows moment. God, yes. I need you.
Yes.
And
yes.
God's like, I've been waiting this whole time for that.
Right.
I've been here all along. Father, I thank you, God, for the person today who's listening to this who just needed that encouragement to know they're not alone. That God, even when they feel alone, they feel like no one gets them, God, you get them.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, that you love us enough. You walked in our shoes. God, thank you on that cross. You thought about us. That's what drove you there.
Yes.
And thank you, Lord, that you endured that for us. And Lord, we call upon you and ask for your help. Lord, thank you, God, that you are always there, an ever-present help in our times of trouble. And we lean on you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for Torin, for his testimony, for the way you're using him. But God, thank you that each person listening to this, you want to use them in a powerful way too. God, you've got great things for them. Lord, we are simply stewards of our lives. May we be good stewards. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Torin, thank you, man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for sharing. Thank you. Thanks for just being with us. And God bless you, man. It's been such a great, we can't wait to hear you tonight. And thanks for being here. You know, we're going to be watching your ministry, and love the music.
Thank you.
And just so grateful for that. And just thank you for helping us sing to the Lord, call out to God.
Honored to
do it. And it's fun. And I love this. One last thing I want to say. Thanks for being a church guy, man.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for believing in the local church. It's still the hope of the world.
Love it. Thank you.
Good stuff. God bless, man. Thank you. It's great.